Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. Geshe-la, of course, is already here. And when he arrives, if you've never been here before, would you please stand to out of respect for him and his teachings? We'll be saying prayers from this white prayer book. If you're sitting in a pew, it's at the end of the pew. And if you're sitting in a chair, it's the one copy behind your chair. And we will be saying prayers on the first base sheet, the first three prayers. And then we'll say some prayers at the bottom of the first pink sheet. If you have cell phones, would you please put them on mute or vibrate or turn them off? And you're welcome to bring drinks into the Gompa. Geshe-la has been teaching on reviewing meditation practices, and the book that he will be teaching from is The Art of Happiness by His Holiness and Dr. Howard C. Cutler. This morning he didn't really refer to that. He referred to some other texts. So let's just get our minds ready to hear the teachings and wait for Geshe-la to arrive. So we'll start with Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times, then the four immeasurables in English, and then in Tibetan. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentientam chedevadam. See some mantras at the bottom of the first pink sheet. And so when we say the Mani mantras, the Chenrezig mantras, let's think of all the people on our prayer list. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Oh, wonderful. They see, look at them. Very good.
So we're
on our way out. So we've all been each other's mothers in past lives, but in this life, in this life, some of you guys have very special people that are taking very good care of you today. The day we celebrate that. So I'd like to give you a flower on your way out. Yeah, and you can give it to your mom and then go line up in class as normal. If you have somebody else really special who brought you, you can get a flower for them too. It doesn't have to be exact. Anybody ready?
Sebastian got a bite on his face from the dog.
All right, guys, you can go land for your fun. Thank you to all the mothers who chose to help celebrate your day today.
Hello.
It's a little chaotic this way, but it's a little bit fun. Or someone very special. Every kid
is.
Yeah. Well, but you admit it.
Good morning. Just want to say Happy Mother's Day. Begin with nine round breathing meditation. Okay. I think it's good, you know, to learn this meditation can be done within short period of time, okay? So somehow the life gets very busy in America here, you know, so especially if you have family, so you know, so many things to take care of. So this kind of meditation is, you know, easy to learn and easy to do, doesn't require to say any prayers, you know, it does also benefit, a lot of benefit, okay? this is called nine round breathing meditation. So, to design to eliminate it or wasted energy. Okay, wasted energy. So some of you old men know these meditations, and some of you may not know about these meditations. So. So any meditation that you do, I think it's good to begin with this nine round breathing meditation, okay? This is called lung roll. Lung roll, like wasted energy, gu, nine, lung roll gu, tuk, set, there's three set, each set, three breathings, they're called cell, eliminated, okay, eliminated. So you can share that with your friends, you know, especially I think you can teach your kids, you know, to do it. It's not that difficult to do. So, So, how to eliminate, this is the technique, how to eliminate wasted energy, okay? Wasted energy do cause, you know, physical discomfort. If there's many of them, they're stuck into our channel. So please, you know, to sit straight. First, we'll use our left hand, okay? Block the left nostril. Inhale. Inhale from the right nostril. Long, slow. That's three. Okay. So each time when you inhale, you count one. Okay. So that's first set, three breathing. So now please, right hand, in hell. Second set, not three, okay, second set. So now from both nostril, inhale, exhale, three times, okay? So this is called 9-round breathing meditation. So 9-round breathing meditation is good to do. May help, you know, to kind of get rid of some physical pain. If you have some physical pain in the back, here, in the behind the shoulder, so for this. This breathing, you can breathe, you can exhale forcefully, you can inhale forcefully, long, slow. Okay, long, slow. Oh, yeah. So now the second one. This is like a forceful method, you know, how to, control super excited mind. Super excited mind? Oh, okay, super excited mind. So you need to ask yourself questions. How's your elephant doing? If your elephant is calm, peaceful, meditation don't need it. No. If this elephant get super excited, no. So there should be difference between excited mind and wandering mind. Excited mind, according to the teaching textbook, excited mind is powered by, you know, some sort of attachments. The wandering mind can be, you know, any things. But excited mind, basically becoming obsessed about, you know, could be idea, could be image, could be sound, could be, you know, smell, could be, you know, tactile or the visual image like that, okay? The reason behind this meditation is, you know, like excited, super excited, not excited, it's probably a super excited mind, you know, make as a, I'm not sure, so probably need to ask you questions. When you get super excited, your mind is calm or not calm? Oh, that's good. Huh? I mean, not good, but sorry, that's not good. I'm not saying it sounds good, but it's good to know. You know, it's okay. Okay. So then, you know, so that's therefore, you know, that's sim mashiwache. That means, you know, makes mind not calm. How do you say? No, it's Korean English. It doesn't matter, as long as you understood my English, I think that's okay. It makes mind uncalm, unpeaceful. That's why. So this is important to this meditation, okay? So what we do, this is called forceful method, how to controlling super excited mind, because it makes mind uncalm, unpeaceful, imbalance. But that's better, it's imbalance. So, exhale from the mouth, exhale from the mouth, inhale from the nose, we'll do this 10 times, okay, 10 times. So, the last breath, last minute when you inhale, then please hold your breath and visualize or image that the energy that goes down is white, round. Size doesn't matter. Also, I think it's good to good to image the body is something that, you know, light. It's not like something solid, okay? Right. So then imagine that white energy that's going down is round. Almost like, you know, that I use example that the blood pressure machines that you use, you see the drop, like that. Just visualize it like that, you know. Four finger below navel, okay? Is it clear? Oh. So then when you feel it reach there, close the lower jaw. Immediately, simultaneously close the lower jaw. Then energy that comes up is yellow, okay? Yellow. So then you sit like this. White above, yellow below, like this. And during all this process, you are not breathing, okay? So now there, where the focus should be on that, that's where focus should be, okay? And not breathing. Hold your breath long as you can. Then, like that. Okay? So that's also same. It's also you can, you know, you can teach kids, you know. You can use your friends, you know. You don't need to say any prayer, you just sit, okay? That we'll do together. Oh yeah, thank you. So this is, you know, these two meditations. So you can do it home. You can do it home. You know, so then, you know, you get benefit because you yourself is doing these meditations. Then you get benefit. Okay. So otherwise, you know, as I said this morning, you know, like everybody can sit. Even chicken can sit. Squirrel can sit. You know, anybody can sit. You know, so that's not it. So that's like how to, you know, silence your mind, okay? So it's not easy to silence our mind, but we can silence our mind thinking something, like I said, concentrating on something. In this case, a breath, you know, and here, like the light, the energy, white above, yellow below, that's where you focus. Something chishi, or so I'm happy, you know, to introduce, you know, this meditation to you because this meditation has already been taught 100 years ago. It's already been taught. That's not something that I just made up last night. Okay, it's already been taught. So therefore, I feel good to introduce you this meditations. So now, you know, the second one, forceful method, how to control super excited minds. So we just did 10 breathing. It can be 7, it can be 11, it can be 12, it can be 13. Number doesn't matter, you know. So reason, you know, behind this, introducing this, you know, this type of meditation here, you know, so then you learn something that can be done within short period of time, doesn't require any prayer to say. So I think meditation is critical in order to have peaceful mind. Samdhe chishi, concentration produce calm mind. Samdhe chishi, loyi tol, wisdom liberates. Okay? Wisdom liberates, not just simple desire. Wisdom liberates. So when you look at the practice of six perfections, the last two perfections, it says, Samdhe chishi, concentration produce peace mind. Wisdom, loyi tol, wisdom liberates. That's why you concentrate, not because you want to become something, you know. So you just concentrate simply that you want to, you like to have, you know, peaceful mind, calm mind. That's why you concentrate. So right now we are using our own breath, you know. So then keeping the elephant, you know, elephant is so powerful. If this mind gets wild, it's no good. It's not good. This is not good. So mind is so powerful, like elephant. So then, when you concentrate, you know, so you can use, as I said, mentioned, you know, the last couple of Sundays, you can use visual image, you can use sound, you can use smell, all kinds of things you can use, you know, visual image. So first you concentrate, you look at, if you are using image, you look at the image. Then you know, then don't, you don't look, then make yourself familiar with the image. Then you try to see the image. Okay? First, it's kind of fuzzy, not clear. You shouldn't worry, just stay there. Just to keep the elephant on that loop, on that, as a, in that, yeah, on that image, you know. Why? That's the only way to produce calm mind, peaceful mind, to concentrate. You know? So then, with familiarizations, time, the practice, the patience, you become good and good, and you become very good. Then maybe eventually you almost see crystal clear. You know, first, just to stick with that image. You know, seeing, you know, if you visualize something, you know, then the clarity, then second step is how long. Third, the clarity, okay. So this meditation is, you know, this is all about concentration, okay. So then what else we talk this morning? So this is like Groundhog Day. Everything has to repeat from the first session to second session. You want to do one more meditation, new? Not the one that you already know, but something new. So this is called, you know, we did that too, right, this morning. So I, you know, like, introduced this meditation like a long time ago. But the reason behind doing this again, it's not something that you don't know, maybe just simply, like, sort of refreshing, reviewing, okay? So, and I very much hope that, you know, that you will learn. So then there's hope, very much hope, okay, you will learn. So this one is called, like, forceful method, how to deal with the sinking mind. Sinking mind? Sinking? You know, when you sit in the beginning, you sit kind of fresh, you know. Then all of a sudden, so then instead of like has a clarity, then something comes out here. So that happens, you know. If you are doing meditation, you have experience. You know, monks, we experience a lot because, you know, lack of sleep at the monastery, you know, like year after year, year after year, you know. So then minute you sit, first 5-10 minutes, kind of fresh, you know. Then all of a sudden, weather's kind of warm, the butter tea is too rich. So then all of a sudden, you know, so then, then you see the monks fall asleep at the prayer, you know, then it goes like this. Like, then eventually then you learn how to take the best nap in most inconvenient positions. See? This is quite amazing, you know. You can learn something that, you know, seems like impossible. Then you become so good, you won't move at all. You are just right in the line. Not front, not back. If you lean too much front, then discipline will gently. So then you learn. So one of my friends, now he's already passed away, he's kind of short. He's really good at that. Not all the way done, no? Sometimes you do fall. Then you flip, you know, because there's next line and your line, there's quite a big gap because that's where most need to go to serve the tea. There's quite a big gap, you know, so that's where they bring the bread and the tea. So the sometimes, you know, oh, so then you kind of really scared, you know, like all of a sudden you just took. So then when we drink tea, so there's all like wooden ball. Then, you know, you are supposed to hold. That's a long offering, tea offerings, prayer, been chanted in tune. So you have to hold this. You know, so then you have to be very, very careful to make sure this tea is hot so you can hold, you know. It's a little bit risky in the winter time, you know, it's kind of get cold, you know. It's not like here. Everybody touch everybody. There's not enough space. Then, you know, all of a sudden you get warm. So then, you know, it's dangerous. And there's like sometimes this long hour of sitting, like 5-6 hours of sitting. Then it's, you know, gets kind of complicated. But, yeah, first you say some mantra, you know, kind of excited, then all of a sudden, all the mantras finish. So then, you kind of, then, you know, you start to think, you know, when I can get out. So this one is, you know, forceful method, how to overcome from sinking mind, okay, sinking mind. So I'm hoping, and as, not saying this for 100% sure, but I'm hoping this will help to probably, you know, to overcome from depressions. I'm not sure. It might help. Also, maybe, you know, it might help from the, you know, somebody who has low esteem. Or whatever that is. So that kind of problems may help. You know? So like, it's like lifting your spirit up. Okay. So this is called mixing your mind with the sky. Okay, mixing your mind with the sky, not space, sky. Clear, crystal clear blue sky. Okay, so what do you do? There's no breathing, nothing. You just sit straight and at your navel, imagine a shape like egg, white. That is your mind, okay? So mind doesn't have shape and color. We have to come up with the shape and color. So I'm just repeating. It's already been said in text. I'm repeating exactly the way it said it, with the said in text, okay? Not adding up anything, just nothing. So size didn't mention. Can be small, can be big. Size didn't mention. Whatever size you're comfortable, you can imagine. So now, at navel, not below or not above, at navel, there's a shaped like egg, white. That's your mind. So imagine that. So So then now the here, that's, then you have to say the word pe, not like pe. Like it has to be loudest, like it has to be strong, okay? So then the power of the syllables shoots up this, you know, consciousness, like shaped like egg, deep into blue sky. Then after that, what you're thinking, you're just thinking sky, blue sky. That is your mind. Vast, clear, that's your mind, okay? So that's what you're thinking, okay? So we'll do. Oh, yeah. So this is just introduction that you can do at home, okay? You can spend more time at home up here because of the limit of the time. So we need to hurry up. Right? So, long sen, energy, long energy, sen, mind, long sen. You cannot separate. Long sen. Namka, sky. Namka, se, mix. Damga, instructions. That's what you call. No, so long sen, namka, se. Instruction, how to mix the mind with the sky. Okay. So then, you know, this, you know, class is basing on the books of that books that appear also his own as Dalai Lama. So then, somehow this book has never been read here in the class. You know, there's, I've been like probably many Sundays already passed. So I've just, you know, just talked to this. Anyway, this whole theme about this book is about happiness. So then with having this, you know, incredible human intelligence with this body, so many fishes on this planet doesn't have this incredible intelligence, able to learn, read, write, think. So that this intelligence, because of this intelligence, so now this sophisticated brain or intelligence makes this human life so precious. That's called, you know, in the Buddhist teaching, it's called precious human life. Precious human life. So there's also something that probably, you know, we should pay some attention. This, you know, the teaching says, you know, this life is far more valuable and precious than wish-fulfilling jewel. If you have the wish-fulfilling jewel, you can just imagine, you know, fresh chocolate chip cookie from the Whole Food. It will just happen there, right there. That's called wish-fulfilling jewel. So there's something you can imagine, it just happened there. So this is far more precious than, far more valuable and far more precious than wish-fulfilling precious jewel, what we call in Tibetan, called Ishinobu. Sometimes, you know, we call, Tibetan people call His Holiness like that. We call His Holiness wish-fulfilling jewel. That's what we call Ishinobu. So anyway, this is generally speaking, there's a name of this kind of jewels, okay? So then, you know, wearing different layers of levels, you know, so that's, oh, I'm not good, you know, my hair doesn't look good, or my nose is too long, they're too short, you know. So then it's all these things, you know, just, you know, they're thinking, looking down. According to Buddhism, it's totally wrong. It's totally wrong. You are alive, no matter what kind of hair, curly hair, straight hair, brown, black, then what else? Green, yellow, all kinds of hair. Now you can see all kinds of hair. In some sense, just you see green hair, and yellow, all kinds of hairs, and all kinds of different shapes. So it's not based on that. You know, this is so precious, so difficult to find, so precious. Right now, when you think about that, it's hard to believe. You know, as I said, you know, that in, the store that you can buy something that, you know, has a, I can't believe it's not butter. I can't, right? I can't believe it's not butter. Then what it means? It means like it tastes exactly like butter. That's why. You know? So then maybe someday you'll say, I can't believe this is not precious. No, so that's what happened. No. Right now it's just mere knowledge. So then one day, thinking more again about that, then one day you will gain experiential understanding of precious human life. So then when you say precious human life, it means something deep than just mere word. Then someday when you say, you know, about impermanent, it means something deep than just word. Okay? So I just, you know, want to, one way to get out of, you know, the different layers, the different levels that we are wearing. Oh, like you don't look good, you know, you're too big, too small, too like too dark, too white, all kind of, you know, there's so many things that people say, or people say, or you think, I'm not sure. People say, or you think, oh. So this is all different levels, you know, do you wear, you know. So the level that, you know, given by Shakyamuni Buddha, we don't wear that level at all. You know, it's like, it's very true, because why is so precious? Now you have to meditate. You have to brainstorm why it's so precious. On this planet, there are so many different species. Human is very unique. You know, unique types of species. So, why is so special? Why is so precious? There's something that you can accomplish for yourself, something you can accomplish for other beings, you know, what's for happiness, something that you can do in this life, you know, much more deeper level of happiness you can obtain in any other form of, you know, beings or this life. So you can do far more bigger than yourself in this life because of this life and this sophisticated, you know, intelligence, okay? So there's something that in Buddhism, there you do things. The minute you wake up in the morning, you think about a precious human life. And other way to say, some other books, that, you know, they say, find something that you'll be grateful. Grateful, you know. So, so I think it's good to do, okay. So then, Chambe meek is a chamba, love. Okay, chamba, love. Meek, eye. When you look at somebody, you look at through the eyes of love. What is love? Love, there's a wish to, I say, lead somebody to happiness. That's love. Chewa, compassion. Chambe meek is a. You look at people through the eyes of love. How you say? Chambe mikita. Chamba, love, mik, eye. That's how you look at people. You look at them from the eyes of love. Not eyes of hatred, judgment. No good. We should be like, no. Chambe mikita. Chewe semjisu. You, how you say, you greet people out of compassion. Cewa, compassion. Same, mind. Su means greet. You greet people. Mind of compassion. That's how you greet. Not out of hatred or anger or jealousy. You know, this is all, you know, that's how we should spend our life. You know. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. I didn't say it's easy, but it's difficult. That's what we should do. To have happier life. peaceful family, you know, peaceful community. Just everybody should, regardless of, you know, what you believe, this is good for the community, this is good for you, good for everybody, you know. Chambe Niketa, looking at other people's, you know, so out of the eyes of love, greed or meet other people with, you know, as a mind of compassion. So then life become happier, okay? So then, so much, you know, has been done in the mind, within the mind. So, and you know, coming down, the king, probably she's not here, so king who drove me from my house to here. So way down, not very far from my house, we saw this tiny car, kind of cute. And she said, you know, that car is called smart car. Smart, not smart, it's called smart. So then I thought, oh, that's quite interesting, you know, to leveling something tiny, something leveling good, you know. And actually, it's America, big is better, everything. So they're smart, you know. So then she said, no, because it consumes less energy, good for environment. So they are also similar to the mind, you know. That's also some minds called smart mind, I think, you know. So I learned this lesson. Oh, why not, you know, like few desires, de chung, chokshe, contentment. That's smart mind. That's use less energy, right? It consumes less thing. If that's the case, that's why you call smart. So this mind is also smart too. No, dejun choshe. Few desires, contentments. It consumes less energy. Because why? Because you have, you know, like, that's like, yeah, that desire is tiny. It's not like huge. You know, so dejun choshe. So then, you know, now this sounds good, you know, that sounds good, you know, huge desire, but this very, probably very foreign for your ears, because, you know, here, from all directions, you know, encourage, there's like more, bigger, so the few desire, you know, desire, I think, called chokshe, the chung, the vachunga, chokshe contentment. So now how to do that? How we should do that, how we can do that, or then it requires probably many, many knowledge. Need a lot of resource, information, how to do that. So, you know, good, you know, this is, you know, this practice has been mentioned, so maybe need to put, you know, need to give some attention there, you know, see how it works, okay? So then, so much has been done in the mind, so I use the reasons. I use some stories. I told the stories. Story, there's one teller in Tibet. You know, Tibet, there's no machines. There's, I say, saw. Hand sewing. So then, there's, you know, certain case, you know, like hard fabric, they like this. Kunambu, so they use bigger needles. Then they put the second needle in there, between their lip, is how they hold. So then one tell, that's usually how they, what they, if they use second needles, the first one they hold here. And in artists probably here, artists here, so you see when they paint, they hold one brush here, you know, then they change, you know, it's easy. So we don't have this fancy stand, and just everything here. So anyway, so they tell us, you know, like sewing something and put this, you know, extra needle on some fabric and completely forgot that. And then walking, all of a sudden thought, oh no, I swallowed the needles. All of a sudden, he don't remember. He got very sick. Now he said he's going through all kind of pain, imagining needles going through his body. He got really, really sick, fall into the floor. Of course, it's all in the mind. When he falls down and he look at and he saw this, to where he put his needle, right after that, he's fine. So this is all this knows so much that's been done in the mind. That's one, that's true story. Another story is, I told this a long time ago, since, you know, 1959 or 60s, 70s, the Tibetan people can, you know, occasionally they can go back to Tibet, visit their family, you know, they can bring their family member to India. So then, you know, some monks who escaped from Tibet, so they bring their mother from Tibet, you know, old mother from Tibet, and to take care, and they live in the monastery, you know. So one of them, that monks who brought the monk mother, is still in monastery. He's still alive. He's in monastery. So he brought his mother, you know. And Tibet is very high. There's no summer, doesn't get very hot. It's kind of mild. So South India is really, really hot. No air conditions. You have, nowadays, you have fan. Most of the time, there's no electricity, so you can use fan. So anyway, she's getting really hot. She's getting really hot. And like a lot of the heat there. So then the monks come up with this idea, you know. So then his mother cannot see very well. Cannot see very well, you know, because she's quite old. And he told mother, look at, from the window, there's a lot of snow falling. And all of a sudden, mother says, as a same note, I don't know how to translate that, like, what, how you say, if you agree with that, how you say in English? Isn't that right? Something like, isn't that right? She's agreeing. She's saying no. All of a sudden, she's shivering. It's quite amazing, you know, like that, like, they say, oh, in the mind, you know, so, so just, just so much can be done within the mind, okay, so much can be done within the mind. So now, talking about desire, you know, pure desire, this is very, very foreign to your ears, because here, and also the study has been done based on this film, the movie, you know, Happiness, based on that, they show some diagrams. No, the material status went way up, 60 to 70, go up. Happiness, this is not going like this, is going down there. So, needs to know, so that studies have been done. But then before that, so many studies have been done from the Buddhist point of view about happiness. So anyway, so now, you know, think about, you know, having this sophisticated brain and this precious human life, and think about how, you know, like why fewer desires is important, you know, contentment, fewer desire, okay? So not just desires, you know. So I'm not saying, oh, having a new car, eating nice food, I'm not saying this is suffering. I'm saying, you know, desire, what kind of desire, you know? So as I said, you know, it's not just pizza, it has to be from Papa John. It's very particular, you know. It's not just, you know, not just any coffee, Starbucks, to come from Starbucks. Not just anything, it has to be latte. You know, like very precise, you know, like that. With this kind of desires, you know, so then, oh, it has to go exactly like this, you know, that that's where the cup has to face. If the cup faces this way, no good. You know, the handle has to face this way. Oh, that makes me so happy now. You know, somebody put it there. Who did that? All my happiness is gone. Who did that? You know, this is all this like idea. You know, this is all this like, you know, things. You know, and there's no day to day life. You know, it's amazing. It's quite amazing. Day to day life, how we destroy our happiness. Day to day life, how we destroy our happiness. Even though not able to create happiness, that's okay. But how we destroy our happiness, you know. When you listen to something, you know, so like, oh, so this is the real, you know, like, every day, you know, so it's like, so then another story that I told, another story, okay, there's also important stories, that's about Milarepa, So Milarepa, there's no Tibetan yogi, who spent most of his life in the wilderness, that's where, you know, he stayed, you know, in the wilderness. He possesses very little things. So please don't get wrong idea. I'm not saying, no, you should not possess anything. I'm not saying that, no. I'm saying, like, we are all talking, the point here is like, you know, contentment and few desires, you know, few desires. Oh. So I'm not against, you know, that you are enjoying nice food. I'm not against, especially not against if you are eating the fresh chocolate chip cookies from Whole Foods. So I enjoyed that greatly. You know, I enjoyed that greatly. So now my karma completely ran out. So I can just now visualize, that's all. So, but I can't help I cannot help myself to talk about chocolate chip cookies. So, some satisfaction get there, even though I'm not able to eat that. So then Milarepa, you know, Milarepa, he has this pot made out of clay. Only pot that he possesses. So that's very important. So that's where he makes tea, that's where he cooks some plant, that's where he eats, you know. So then one day he's going out to the creek to get some water, and he's, you know, carrying this pot. All of a sudden he slept, because it's kind of raining. He slept. He loses the pot from his hand. Bang, on the stone, broke. What Milarepa said? Guess, please guess what Milarepa said. Guess. What kind of story Milarepa created based on that? So what Milarepa did? Milarepa Zatata is a tatadness. What Milarepa said, the clear pot is right here, is gone. It is nature of impermanence. Finish. If that happened to us, what will we do? Well, carrying this glass, all of a sudden, kind of steep. Then you throw the glass there. What will we do? What will we say? You know, we don't say that. You know, we say something else. Not sure. This fall could go long and long, many, many days. You know? So that's what applying something right there, you know, right there. This is the only thing that he has to make peace, hot tea, gone. He says, Zatata is a tatame. Za, there's a pot, clear pot. It's right here, it's gone. That's the nature of impermanence. Finish. That's how you let it go. That's everything about letting go, you know. It needs knowledge. It's easy to say, let it go. But when it comes to a practical level, it's not easy. But you have to have some deeper understanding why you should. It's like, don't go against the reality, the fact. That's what happened, you know, like that. And, you know, then you break something, then you're trying very hard to find like that, exactly like that. It has to be exactly like that, you know. So, you know, it's like that. You know, this is, I think, important lesson for all of us. We could learn the same lesson, you know. So that's exactly, we talk about here, you know, letting go. That's how is letting go, understanding, you know. So that's just an example, the clear. You know, you can apply so many different things, okay. Okay, so now I'll stop here, so because time's running out. So this is, So many, many weeks we are talking about happiness. I thought it's very important, so to, you know, to study about happiness, because that's the prayer which say, obtain happiness, you know, but we have to understand happiness, okay? So because of this theme of the Sunday class, happiness, so one of our members, Stephanie Smith, so she's going to talk about, you know, this, what do you call this, this wonderful program called Inside Happiness. Inside Happiness. So she's going to talk about that, you know. So, and this is, I thought, you know, very much related to that topic that we have been discussing many, many weeks at the center. So, and a lot of people put so much energy. So, and I will give, you know, rest of like 8 minutes to Stephanie so she can talk about Inside Happiness.
See if I can keep a calm mind while talking into a microphone in front of 100 people. Many people know me as the person who was lucky enough to have Geshe-la live in her house for about 9 years. That's true. That's me. And I have many, many funny stories of te- teaching Geshe-la how to use the washing machine, teaching Geshe-la how to type, teaching Geshe-la some English, how to say y'all, things like that. I also have a lot of stories about all the things that Geshe-la taught me. But I can only pick a few because I've got 8 minutes, and basically this is an infomercial for Inside Happiness. But don't get me wrong, Inside Happiness is one of the fruits of having Geshe-la live in my home for 9 years. So I knew I was lucky right off the bat, but what I started to realize is that I was also getting very spoiled. With that up-close seat next to Geshe-la, I was getting really spoiled. And when he left for long vacations or to go to India, you know, my view kind of shifted, and I thought, this isn't right. I need to do more than just share a house with Geshe-la. I also need to share a mindset and a view. And I came up with an analogy that helped me. If you were sitting at a long banquet table that stretched out a whole mile in that direction and a whole mile in that direction, but around you, everywhere you could see, the people at your table were completely drunk. But if you knew that way at the end that you couldn't even see, there were a handful of people who were sober. And way at the end of this table, there were a handful of people who were sober, and you were sober, then you would actually be closer to those people than the people sitting around you, because you would be sharing that same mental state, that same view as the people who were sober. So I thought, okay, I have to do everything I can to try to raise my view up a little bit to be as close to the kind of view of the people I admire, including Geshe-la. So he put me to work, gave me lots of prostrations to do and lots of mantras to do and lots of teachings to attend and lots of things to read. And it was helping. And then one time on a Sunday, I heard him say something that really caught my ear. He said, you can get a Dharma teaching from the beak of a bird's mouth. Did I get that right? Okay. And I thought, wow, if that's true, then I can get Dharma teachings and inspiration and practice 24 hours a day. I just have to open my ears and open my eyes and really see things through this other kind of lens. And not long after that, my mother came to live with me. And many of you know that Hurricane Katrina had made it impossible for her to live in her home. And small vessel of disease of the brain had made it really difficult for her to talk. I brought her to a speech therapist who asked her, are you depressed? It would be understandable, all the losses that you've gone through. Are you depressed? She said, I'm sad, but I work every day to be happy. I wake up every day and decide to be happy. And that rocked my world. I thought, in one sentence, she just summed up everything I'm working to do. And I thought, this is amazing. And I was also watching her try to do that, in struggle to try to do that. And I thought, this is such an inspiring story. And because we all share that wish to be happy, these stories are all around me. We all have these stories. We know somebody with an amazing story. And these stories, which I'm going to show you a little bit of them, became my food, became inspiration for me. And because I was so excited about these stories, they were contagious. And I met a photographer who donated his services to these portraits. This is my mom. And I met a writer who helped me interview people and collect these stories. And we had an event probably about 4 or 5 years ago now that had these stories and more. We've got many more featured in the gallery. And upstairs from the gallery, Geshe-la and another person talked about what you see is what you get and how can you change what you see so you can get more. And the Inside Happiness story began. And in addition to collecting stories, it's also a speaker series so that people from all different religions, walks of life, professions could talk to us about happiness and how to increase our store of happiness. And so if this is interesting to you or inspiring to you, because, oh, guess what? The side effect of this is it's a fundraiser for the center. So in addition to all of this, it was fun, and I brought in some money for the center. So it was in hibernation mode for a while. It's now being revived. If this is something that interests you, please take a flyer and bring it to one of your yoga center, your coffee shop, your workplace, and try to spread the word, because the event is coming up the last Friday in May. I think it's May 31st. And I appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you, Geshe-la.
So another thing, here, you know, so you saw the stupa here, stupa's built. So we built it for you, not for you. So here, as I said, no, life gets so busy. There's so many things. So if you have children, so there are so many programs to run. Life gets so busy. So this is the easiest way to create huge amount of merit, which is according to Buddhism, which is the principal cause of happiness. Also, you know, it purifies. So you know, it's kind of like really, really happy, you know, to see the mother's caring child around the stupa. You know, so you know, you said there's time to time they say, okay, Krishna, please, would you mind to bless? Best way to bless is take your child, baby, around the stupa. Just go one round. You know, the benefit of that, you know, explained in the teachings, I can still cannot grasp my mind on that, you know, like, wow, that's like mind-blowing, you know, so easy. You just go one round. It's like, you know, so then when you come to center, if you just go one round, and not because I'm going for you, then, you know, so that you are going by yourself. So that's, you know, amazing, that's, you know, the merit that you created, believe or not, you know, it's hard to believe, but huge, because, you know, it contains relics inside. It's not just, you know, so contain so much, so many sacred things inside the stupa. Just go one round. You know, it's like purify huge negative karma and, you know, accumulate a lot of merit. So this whole purpose of building the stupa there, you know, is to, you know, how we as a Dharma, the spiritual friend, how we can help each other as a, you know, as are here at the communities, you know. That's why so many people put a lot of energy there. So, and, you know, especially the going around there is very good. So I highly recommend it, not order, not giving orders, highly recommend it you can go around that holy object, you know. So especially if you go to Nepal or India, you see there thousands of all kind of age groups, they just go around, you know. So that's, you know, so then also good to probably read about the benefit of, you know, going out of the stupa. Then you know, you can read. There's books on there. You please read that. You know, this whole purpose. I'm so, so happy, you know. Finally, it's been completely done. So, then 25, you know, Saturday, which is Buddha's birthday. So we are probably going to consecrate that, you know, there, consecrate, you know, that. So everything's, if everything comes together, then we are going to consecrate. That's Buddha's birthday, very special day, according to Tibetan lunar calendars. Then, you know, when you see a small box, you know, that's looking for help, so you can carry them, you know, go around the stupa. Just bring them around, just liberate them there. So then, please read the benefit of that, you know. So, you go around, I get nothing, you know. I go around, you get nothing. So that's not why, you know, it's not, it's solely benefit. That's all. No, there's no, if you go around, no, what, or maybe if I go one round, you come up and get $100. It's not like that, no. This is solely dedicated to help yourself. Just go around. When you come in, you can go, even just going one round. And you know, then when you go out and you're going one round, no, so there's so much benefit, okay? So I'm very, very happy, very, really, really, truly, truly, extremely happy to have this holy object here. And people who are passing by, even just seeing that with a negative mind, there's, you know, some, you know, imprint in their mind, okay? So, really happy. So please, get best out of that, okay? That's, you know. So then, now, 2 minutes pass, or maybe I'll take 1 more minute, and we're going to say some mantras, okay? Mantras, some of them, it's for healing mantra. There's some of them for, you know, preventing from untimely death. Okay, it will take only a minute and a half. Some more of us And have a nice weekend.
So if you turn to the pink sheet and the white prayer book, and we'll say the prayers. Dedications are also a traditional time to make offerings to the Sangha and Dharma Center. We'll be passing generosity bowls in case you'd like to make a donation to the center at this time, or there are donation boxes in the lobby if you prefer to focus on the prayers instead. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drink. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso. Please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu De Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu De Soha.